Would you turn with me to Joshua chapter 6? Joshua chapter 6. I preached a sermon, sometime this last fall, about how one person can make a difference by being obedient to the Lord. We talked about a lot of different people, from Abraham to Moses and Joseph and Mary, Paul and the disciples. And we talked about a couple of guys that most people hadn't heard of. We talked about Philemon and Onesimus. You remember those two guys? Go back and read the book of Philemon. It'll take you about 5 minutes. It's a very short book, but it talks about a man named Onesimus, who was a runaway and a problem, and how he turned into one of the people who saved the letters from Paul, and why we have restored to us a lot of the Bible. So really kind of cool how one person can make a huge difference. Amen? Has one person ever made a difference in your life? Fantastic. You know, if we will just take note of some of those things, we really realize that one person does make a difference for good in our life. Well, we remember that these ordinary heroes bring God's blessing, not just for ourselves, but for our families, surrounding friends, and even our nation. People make a huge difference. Why? Because they're obedient to God's word, and when people are obedient to God's word, good things happen. Unfortunately, the exact same thing is true on the other end. The reverse to that scenario can happen too. Just as one individual can bring great blessing from God, one disobedient individual can wreak havoc on themselves, on their family, on their church, and even on their nation. You may recall the victory of God's people, the Israelites, at Jericho. How many of you remember Jericho? How many of you have been to Jericho? Come on. I know Skip was there. He went with me. All right. Some of y'all been there with me. All right. Listen, you can still go, by the way. You ought to go and listen. There are so many wonderful things as they find in archaeology. Every time they find something and confirm it, do you know what? It never goes against God's word. It always supports it. You know, they found things, they go, oh, well, this is going against, and then they find out, oh, they did it wrong. And then when they find it right, they don't like to publish that for some reason. But folks, let me tell you, at Jericho, there was, you recall that there was something really huge that happened. You recall that at Jericho, and we're going to read it about that victory again in just a moment. But before the battle, as our brother Patrick read, God called for a total ban. Now that word total ban is an understanding of what God asked for. He said, I don't want y'all taking anything from the city. Not one piece of spoil. All the goods that come out, all the precious metals and everything are going to go into the treasury of the Lord, and all the rest of it's going to be destroyed, because he said, this is a sinful place. I don't even want you having remembrance of it in any other way. So 6 days they marched around Jericho. Do you remember? You know, we could all probably sing the song, you know, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Y'all don't know that one? I'll just sing it to you. Okay. No, you already know it. All right. 6 days they marched around Jericho one time. And on the last day, on the seventh day, they did something different. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? We're going to begin reading in Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. And the scripture says, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. In the same manner as what? That they had done each day before. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. Now you remember that story, how she had hidden the spies and that she had protected them so that they could get back to Israel and give the information. And because she had hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Now listen, it says, and you. And when it says, and you, who is it talking to? Everybody. Everybody. You shall abstain from the cursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. That sounds like a warning to me. All the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the what? Treasury of the Lord. In other words, who is it going to belong to? God. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before them, and they took the city. Folks, here we have the account once again of the Battle of Jericho that you've heard from the time since you were a little person. We hear it again, and we realize that when you follow God's direction, great victories come about. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. But right after this huge victory, after God had given such specific instructions, one guy fouls it all up. One man fouls it all up. Move forward to chapter 7. Follow with me. Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now look forward to verse 20 and 21. We're gonna come back and cover in between. It says, and Achan answered Joshua, because Joshua confronted him, and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So we have a confession here that there was something going on, and we're going to talk about the consequences of that in just a moment. Would you pray with me? Father, your word is recorded for our benefit. It is recorded for our instruction, and it is recorded for our remembrance. God, help us not to take lightly what you'd call for us to remember. Would you help us, Lord, to understand that great blessing can come from even one who is obedient, and great detriment can come from one who is disobedient. Father, help us to seek and search our own hearts that we might be cause for blessing and not cursing. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Would you be seated? You recall the victory. You recall that they had a great victory, but there was a problem. We know the problem. We read about this one man who took from the spoils there, and Achan thought that nobody would know. Achan thought that nobody would be hurt, that if he could just slip in, he saw this beautiful garment, he saw the silver, he saw the gold, and it says he coveted it. Have you ever seen something that wasn't yours and you wanted it? Sure, you're human. We're all human. You see something that's not yours, you think, man, it'd sure be nice to have that. But you move beyond that to saying, hey, I want that, and you make ways to get it. But, you know, he thought nobody would know, but I tell you, sin does not lie dormant for very long. When you sin, you don't just sin against yourself. When you sin, you don't just sin against another person. When you sin against God. And when you sin against God, God knows. He is almighty. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. That means he's all seeing, he's all knowing, and he is everywhere. And when God tells you no, there's a reason. We talked a little bit about that last week. When God says no, there's a reason. It matters not how deep you bury your sin, it's seen by God. And all God's people said, amen. God sees our sin. No matter how private you think your sin is, folks, it will have its ill effects. First of all, we look at this and we see that his sin was widespread and its effect was widespread. First of all, his sin affected him. It caused him some problems. You may or may not recall, but in chapter 7, as you look down through there, verses 19 through 21 says that Joshua called him for public repentance, for a public confession. So he had to publicly confess. You know, it's one thing to be caught and to be punished, but it's another thing to be put up in front of everybody and said, tell everybody what you did.
Ooh.
Man, that had to be really difficult, not just before his family, not just before all of his clan, not just before all of his tribe, but before the whole nation he was called to publicly confess. It says in verses 14 through 19 that Joshua called, as God had told him, that Joshua had called every tribe, every clan of every tribe, and then every family, and then every person had to stand before him and say, I did or I didn't, I did or I didn't. And here he had called Achan before him, and Achan had to confess. So after a humiliating confession, which seemed to be bad enough, it wasn't enough before God apparently, because the scripture says that he was stoned and burned, verse 24 and 25. Does that sound harsh? Come on, does that sound harsh? It does sound harsh, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like maybe God was going just a little too far? Why would God give such a stern warning to all the rest of the people by having this one man to be stoned and burned? Well, it wasn't just one man. We're going to find out more. Because not only did his sin affect him, the scripture says that the sin affected his family. His sin affected his innocent family. Verse 24 says that not only was Achan called to account, but because of him, his whole family was called into account. His wife and his children were stoned and burned. Now let me ask you again, does that sound harsh? Does that sound really harsh? Sure it does. Come on, hey, listen, it sounds harsh to me. It sounds really harsh. Why was this sin so severely punished? Folks, first of all, no sin is private. Amen? No sin is private. Now we think, hey, it affects nobody but me. There's our first problem. That's one of the first lies that Satan tells us. Oh, it's not going to affect anybody but you. Our sin, God's word tells us, visits on our children and our children's children. Tell you, there are a lot of public sins that are obvious, right? I mean, we see a lot of sins. My son and I were coming, returning home yesterday, and a huge truck was just running right up on our bumper. I mean, just coming in. I mean, there was nowhere to go. I mean, absolutely nowhere to go. And then he pulled over and nearly ran over the car next to us, nowhere for him to go. I mean, just kept coming at him, kept coming at him. Well, I thought, if there's an accident, I'm going to have his license recorded. So I took out my phone and I took a picture. And the guy saw me, and he was very happy with me. Yes, a little sign language. And I was very tempted to respond, you know, like, oh, I'm so shocked. I was good for a change. I was good. I didn't respond. But I thought, you know, isn't that typical? Our sin might seem to be private, but there's a lot of public sin. People do a lot of foolish things on the road. Amen? They do a lot of foolish things in their homes, in public, where everybody sees them. But I'm going to tell you, and those sins are fairly obvious when people do dumb things, when we do dumb things, but private sins are just as real. Private sins are just as damaging. They hurt you and they hurt your family. You see, private sins rob our heart, and private sins rob our soul of affection for God. Because you see, every time we sin, we're just building up this scar tissue between us and the Lord that we love. And it causes us not to think about him. It causes us to move away from him. Because after all, when you know your daddy's not happy with you, don't you tend to avoid him? It happens that way with our Father and our Heavenly Father. Man. Not only do they rob us of that affection for God, but they rob us of our blessing from God. In chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, God warned the people. We read that. He warned the people of taking spoils from the town, from the city of Jericho. And he said, don't make the camp of Israel an accursed thing. He says, don't make the camp of Israel liable to destruction. And every Israelite, every one of them by the thousands was obedient. Except how many? One. Why would God take so seriously this one sin? Because first of all, he told them right up front, don't take it, don't touch it, leave it alone. And one of the reasons for a very severe penalty God putting on Achan and his family was that he was stealing directly from God. He wasn't just picking something up that belonged to nobody. Did not God tell them before they ever started? He said, don't touch these. These will be for the treasury of God. He was stealing literally out of the church, out of God's church and out of God's hand. Another reason is that Achan's sin affected the entire nation of Israel. It didn't just affect his family. It didn't just affect him. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, it says that the Israelites, it says, you recall there? Let me just read that verse to you again. We read it earlier. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. The children of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Who was it? What was his name? Achan. I tell you what, that's easy to remember because he was Achan from his hurts. He was Achan. And Achan was the sole person who caused the entire nation of God to be accused. He says the entire nation, the children of Israel, committed a trespass. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Wow. He was unfaithful. Israel was unfaithful, and the nation as a whole was in a covenant with God, and one member transgressed that covenant, and because one member transgressed that covenant, all transgressed that covenant. You see, his sin affected himself, his sin affected his family, but his sin also affected his tribe and his nation. Let's just read verses 2 through 5 there. It says, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now this was right after the victory at Jericho. It was a huge victory, right? There was a huge victory. It was shouting time. And the scripture says that right after this, that Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, and on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, oh, don't let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Don't worry, all the people there, of our people there, for the people of Ai are but a few. So what's happened here? They go, they spy it out, they find out, they say, oh, there's not very many people there. Just send a few of our guys down there and they can take care of them. So about 3,000 men went up from there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Now, what happened here? They went to this new little city, and they were going to rout it because it was just a small place. God said, look, we're taking care of all these who've rejected me. And he said, we're going to win this battle. They said, oh, it's going to be easy. But what happened? They got there, and they got routed, and they chased them away, and about 36 men died. Why? Why did that happen? Scripture's going to tell us. You see, it was all because of the sin of one man. One man had gone against what God said to do. And the first thing that happened because this one man did what God told them not to do, God's people were disgraced. God's people were defamed. It went out all over that this little place that had rejected and thumbed its nose at God routed God's people. Not only that, but 36 innocent men died. Did we overlook that a while ago? Did we overlook that when we read it the first time? 36 soldiers died. Now let me ask you, is that just 36 soldiers affected? We already know that the entire nation was affected because it says that they were disgraced. And then 36 men died. How many families did that affect? Can we say just at minimum 36 families were affected? What about the mothers and the fathers? What about the wives? What about the children? What about the clans? What about those who were close to them? Folks, 36 innocent men lost their life because of the foolishness and the disobedience of one man. Not only that, but I want you to notice that very last passage there, the very last part of that verse says that their hearts of the people melted and became like water. The faith of many of God's people was shaken because they thought God had left them. You know, we fool ourselves if we think that our sin only affects us. Amen? We fool ourselves. Disobedience brings ruin, not just on the individual who's guilty, but even on the innocent. Sin's effects go way beyond the initial sinner. God's word tells us that. And you say, well, you know, if I'd have just had a warning about this, maybe I would have done it. Listen, God's word tells us. He certainly told all of Israel, and Achan didn't listen. So what needs to be done? How do they remedy this? How does God's people overcome what happened? Listen, God tells them what needs to be done. In verse 7 of chapter 7, Joshua comes to God and he says, God, why did you let this happen? I'll just give you in brief. He comes to God and says, God, why did you lead us over this Jordan? We would have been better off just staying over there rather than being routed by this little brat of a rebellious city. Joshua said, why did you do this, God? Sounds to me like he's blaming God, doesn't it? Well, in the following verses, it says that God kind of set Joshua straight. In verses 10 through 12, it says that God told him, he said, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Get up off your face. Why are you just laying there? Israel has sinned. He told him exactly what happened. He said, this isn't because of something I decided not to do. This is because of something that once somebody in your camp has decided to do. Israel has sinned. God says Israel has sinned. So the first thing we need to understand this is, don't blame God for our sin problems. Amen? Listen, if we're the ones who stick our hand in the fire and get burned, are we supposed to say, well, God, you shouldn't have made the fire so hot. But don't we do that? We cause consequence on ourselves. Listen, I know that when I was a kid, they used to have a program, and it was called, it says, you are what you eat. You remember that one? If that's the case, I'm a French fry. And a Big Mac, and a quarter pounder with cheese, and a burrito, you know. I realize that there are consequences for what I do. You realize that, amen? We know that. Listen, spiritually, it goes the same way. There are consequences for what we do. Don't blame God for our sin problems. If you don't do what's right and you pay consequences, don't blame God. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, there are times that we suffer for God's sake. This is true. If you are a Christian, there will be times, I hope and pray, that there will be times that you are strong enough in your faith that you are following God so close that Satan thinks you're a threat and he attacks you. But I'm going to tell you, you know the difference. And I've had people say, well, how do you know the difference when trouble comes? I've said, I'm going to tell you how you know the difference. It's real easy. Are you suffering because you did right, or are you suffering because you did wrong? And if you're suffering because you did wrong, whose fault is it? Boy, we don't even like to say it out loud, do we? Everybody say, hers or his. Follow with me. Whose fault is it? Say mine, and don't say preacher. Whose fault is it? If we suffer for our sins, it's our own fault. If we suffer because we did right, then God's going to give us the strength, and there is blessing to come from that. You know when you are suffering for doing right. That's hard. But God says it can happen when we do right by Him. So, what must be done? We know that Joshua did what most of us do. God, why did you do this? God said, it's not me. Don't blame me for your sins. Israel has sinned. So the first thing we do is don't blame God. Look for the cause. And second thing is we do what God says to do. Look at verse 13 through 15. Are you with me? Do you still have your Bible open? I hope you do. Verses 13 through 15 give us God's prescription here for what they need to do. He said, get up. Quit laying around moping. Quit laying around blaming. Get up. Sanctify the people. Now, what does sanctify mean? It means that we need to get everything right. We need to come to God, look at ourselves, confess our sin, get things right with God, get clean, and get ready to serve God. That's what sanctify means. It means get things ready. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and then the households which the Lord takes shall come by man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, and he that all he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So the scripture says that there's a progression here that we need to take. He said, get up. Quit wallowing around in your sin. Quit wallowing around in your self-pity. Quit doing nothing. Get up. Sanctify yourself. Get things right with you and God. Prepare yourself. Clean yourself. It's like getting ready to come to church on an exciting day. You get up, you get a shower, you comb your hair, you put some foo-foo juice on so that you smell good. You get to the church, you put on your good clothes, you come to church and you're excited and you're ready to be poured out from God. That's sanctifying the body, getting it ready. Are you with me? They said, get the body ready. Get your mind ready. He said, and then get rid of the sin. He said, don't just get ready. You don't just clean the body. You clean the heart. Clean your heart. And they did. And when they did what God said, the scripture says that they were restored to God and restored to victory. Folks, perhaps you've been meeting some defeats in your life. Perhaps you've been having some problems and you just can't seem to get God going with your program. Maybe it's because you haven't made things right. Get up. Quit wallowing in your self-pity. Sanctify yourself. Get things right with God. Get rid of the sin. And then come to God and let God begin the blessing. Amen? That's the prescription that we need. Chapter 8 tells that story. I won't go into that this time. We'll close it up with this. And there's no more blanks in your outline, so you don't need to worry about that. I've got it all filled in for you. Just kind of follow with me here. God put a ban on the spoils of Jericho. He said, look, there's some things you don't need to touch here. Just stay out of it. And Achan ignored God's word, and many people paid a price. The whole nation paid a price. In the same way, it happens to us today. God has some things in our world that He says, look, my people don't need to be touching this stuff. You need to stay out of it. There are a lot of things that the world says, look, this is just fine. It looks like gold and silver to me. It looks like profit to me. It looks like fun to me. But God's word says, listen, you're not supposed to have any part of that. And when God's counsel tells us, don't, we pay a terrible price when we do. And the world tells us, no, it's all right. It's all right. If you like it, it's okay. And if we say it's okay, it's okay. Listen, you don't go by what people say. You go by what God says. And when God says don't, there's a reason for it. For your own good. For your family's good. For your church's good. For your nation's good. When we ignore God's counsel, many people paid the price. The one who sinned, their innocent family, innocent neighbors. Never forget that the sin of just one man or just one woman can remove the blessing of God from many. It can set back the whole family. It can set back the whole church. The question that we need to ask, the question that I need to ask is this: am I holding back the blessings of God? Am I keeping my family from experiencing the victory of God? Am I keeping myself from experiencing the victory of God? Because God said, until the accursed thing is taken out, there's not going to be any victories for your people. Am I holding back the blessing of God? Am I causing others to suffer because of my disobedience? You see, God promised blessings. Aren't you glad to hear that? God promised, boy, listen, you love it when I preach that one. Man, y'all are a whole lot more vocal. God bless me. God send you blessings. How about this section? Listen, it's easy to call for God's blessing. But understand that God promised his blessings when we are obedient. When we're obedient. Never underestimate the amount of damage that our sin can cause. God is holy. God is a holy God, and he will not be disobeyed without consequence. I know some of y'all are going, wow, this is just one of those really, really kind of mean messages, Pastor. Listen, I'm just telling you this because I want you to be blessed. I'm telling you this, well, that's not the only reason. I'm telling you this because it's in God's word. And I'm telling you this because God laid it on my heart that we are a people that need to be obedient, because God blesses obedience and he removes his hand of protection and he removes his hand of blessing when we are disobedient. Never underestimate the damage that sin can cause. He's holy and God isn't disobeyed without consequence. Here's some things that you should remember. Sin always costs you more than you want to pay. It always turns out to cost you more than you want to pay. Always. Secondly, sin always takes you further than you had planned to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen. It's always harder to get out of it than it is to get into it. That's why we should avoid it. That's why why we're reminded that an ounce of prevention is worth a whole lot more than a pound of cure. And God's word gives us the cure. Stay out of those places. Fortunately, when we've gotten there, God has given us the remedy. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. No, everybody say, thank you, Lord. Because here's the cure. Are you ready? Here's, when you fall into that place and you're in that place, here's what you need to do. God gives us the answer. From 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and before we get to then, let's cover that, what we're supposed to do. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, we've got an if-then statement. If this happens, then something else is going to happen. Listen, we know how to work that with our computers. Let's work it with our minds and hearts. If, he says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Woo! Then I'll hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin, thank you, Lord, and I will heal their land. And that starts with the family where the prayer comes from. It's a simple solution. Get up, sanctify yourself, and get rid of your sin. There's the first three things to do. Get up, sanctify yourself, and get rid of your sin. Help me here. Number one is, now, each section needs to do all three, beginning with the shepherd. Get up, Sanctify yourself. Get rid of the sin. Pray with me. Father, we stand before you, a people that are in constant need of help. Lord, would you help us to turn to you? There comes a time, Lord, where we must confess before you. And we need to get things right. We need to get ourselves sanctified, cleaned up. In other words, get everything out of our life that we can get out, get everything in our life that needs to get in there, and we need to be asking you for your help and strength to do it all the way. We need to ask your forgiveness. And Father, we certainly need to ask you for the strength to escape the sin. And when we do, Lord, we're taught from your word that victories will come. Father, I pray that each of us would seek in our heart to ask you, Lord, are we the one keeping the blessing from being poured out? Help us, Father, to have our hearts right and our spirits ready to serve you.